If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Shit show. Welcome back to Shit Show Shelly. No. Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday with my sweet Shelly. Shelly, how long have you been in the community?
I think since December.
Really? Only that long? It feels like you've been around for forever, doesn't
it? I know. It seems like it just.
It's weird. Only December. Like wow. It feels like, well, you just dove right in.
Well, I've been listening for a long time.
How did you find the podcast?
I think I was probably from the recovery podcast. I think I was looking for adult child stuff. So I think I just searched.
And there she was?
There she was.
And you're in Montana. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Southern California.
Okay. What part?
San Gabriel Valley, Pasadena, Arcadia.
Nice.
And then most of my adult life, I was in Northern California, Sacramento and the Grass Valley.
Okay. So what song do you want played when you walk into a room?
This is the hardest thing I was trying to think about because I hardly listen to music anymore. So, you know, I've forgotten half of what I know. But I decided on Riviera Paradise by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Good choice. Yes. Okay. Carbohydrate.
All of them. I'm a sugar addict, but I think I'm susceptible to insulin resistance and stuff. So I don't eat a lot of carbs. But the answer to the question is an overdone, crispy, dark chocolate chip cookie with walnuts.
Like a thicker one?
Doesn't matter how thick it is. I just don't like the soft, doughy ones.
Okay. Cheese.
Oh, I love them all, but probably if I had to pick one, it would be aged cheddar.
Nice. Have you had the caramelized onion cheddar from Trader Joe's?
No.
I gotta get it. Anytime I have, well, yeah, like retreat, I always have it. And everyone's like, what the hell is this cheese? So highly recommend. Condiment.
This is going to be funny, but I think mayonnaise, because you can do so much with it. And I'm not a spicy person, so.
Are we doing Hellman's? Or I guess it was Best Foods for you.
Well,
don't be saying Heinz.
No. I really like Best Foods.
Don't be saying Kraft.
I love Best Foods, but I don't like the ingredients. So I usually pick an avocado oil mayonnaise.
Okay. How is that tasting compared to the Best Foods?
It's not as good.
I agree.
It's a little bit too lemony or something. But, you know, it's okay.
Okay. So how did you find out that you were an adult child?
I don't remember exactly, but my self-awareness, spiritual healing journey has been so long and so slow and so circuitous. It's like, what? I don't know. When I met my wife 20 years ago or so, she was in AA. She had 10 years of sobriety. And so I thought, oh, good. She's fixed.
Where did y'all meet?
We met at a clothing optional hot springs in Sierras.
Where was it?
Sierra Hot Springs in up by Tahoe.
Uh-huh.
So that was interesting. That's a whole story. I won't go into that.
And you're like, this she's healed, clearly.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, we moved in together pretty soon, and she realized she really needed to find meetings because she moved away from Southern California to come up to Northern California where I was. And I'm like, well, why? You know, you're not drinking or anything. But then it became apparent, like, oh, I see. She really does need meetings. And then the more I was around that community, people started saying, you really need to go to Al-Anon. And I was very offended. It's like, what? Is. I'm fine. So I eventually, like several, 10 years later, I started going to Al-Anon and I realized, oh yeah, you know, I can relate to these people. And then through that, I looked into adult child stuff because that Al-Anon wasn't really dealing with the deep issues. So
prior to meeting her, like, had you been in therapy at all?
Just when I got married really young, and when I got divorced, I feel like I almost had a panic attack and I realized, oh, I think maybe I need some help. So I think I briefly did some counseling sessions. I never really had any deep therapy. I did a lot of self-help workshops and experiential things and read a lot and joined groups. And like I said, it was long and circuitous, but no real deep therapy. So I probably could have benefited from that. Maybe still could.
Okay. So then was there a particular moment that you really feel like it became clear to you, like how much your childhood impacted you?
I don't think so. I think the thing that motivated me was I would get into relationships. I was really anxious attacher, and then they would leave and I would be like incapacitated. And that kept happening over and over and over again. And I was just like, why do I keep doing this? Like, I see that what I'm doing, but I can't change it. So I don't know if there was a moment, but it was just, and I guess I just was kept trying and kept, you know, having that intention. And then when I met Loretta, I just felt so, well, eventually, at first I was a little bit anxious with her. Like I didn't want her to go do things without me and stuff. But eventually I just felt so secure in that relationship that I finally felt safe enough to look at the stuff. I think that's what happened.
Did you have a pattern of dating alcoholics?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I was so excited that she was in recovery. It's like, yay, she's an alcoholic, but she's not drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm going to make this work, right? It's like we figure out, and how can I make dating an alcoholic work for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Was she always a therapist?
Oh, no. She's done everything you can think of. She's curious and smart. And so she tries all these things. And then, you know, she's an alcoholic, so she would always quit jobs. But no, she decided after we got together to go back to school to be a therapist. She had done like substance abuse counseling and things like that. And so she decided to go back to school and got her master's and done really well.
I need to meet her. I just feel like I hear so much about her. Right?
I know. I should ask her to come in. She refers a lot of people to you, actually.
I love that. Oh, thank you. Okay. So before we get into your story, I'm curious for her, did she have like a similar story to me as far as like finally realizing that like it really was a lot less about the alcohol and like a lot more about the underlying trauma?
I don't know. I think she probably learned that along the way of she really did the work and she's a totally different person than from what I've heard. And then now, and then being in therapy, I think being in, you know, her master's program, I think that, you know, was even more information and evidence.
Does she like specifically work with people on these issues?
Yeah. Hers is substance use, trauma, gay and lesbian issues.
We got to get Loretta on the pod.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Enough about Loretta. Let's talk about Shelley. Tell me about your childhood. Paint the picture.
My parents got married pretty young. They were like 20. I don't know that they were ever in love. I never got that impression.
Had they known each other for a while? They grew up together?
They knew each other in high school. Uh-huh. I think my mom said she wanted the party. She wanted the wedding. She wanted the pretty dress. So they had a baby soon after that. She died when she was 3 months old. In the paper, it said she asphyxiated. So she probably, you know,
cried and choked.
Yeah. Or, you know, how babies spit up and then.
Yeah.
So I think that's what happened. And then soon after that, I was born. And soon after that, my brother was born. And then soon after that, they got divorced.
Okay.
So I think I always felt like my mom was affectionate. I feel like I got a lot of attachment from her, but my dad was an only child and I don't think he knew how. I think he was just really emotionally unavailable. So even as an adult, like, I think my dad loved me, but I don't really know, you know? So I think I always had that kind of abandonment. I think that was my core issue. And then not long after that, my mom met my stepfather, and he had 4 kids from a previous marriage who were severely abused by their mother. So they all came to live with us. And then they had a kid. So there was 7 kids from 1 to 7. And he was physically abusive, especially with them.
With his children.
His children, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was, I mean, who knows what you would get in trouble for, and the belt would come out, you know, stuff like that. So I think that didn't help.
No shit.
Yeah.
Where was their mother?
She was in somewhere in California. I don't know where
specifically. But he had them.
He got custody of them because of that. So I felt like it just seemed traumatic. You know, all these kids, all this chaos, fighting among the kids, because that's probably all they knew. So that was hard. And then he started being sexually abusive with all of us. Well, at least all the girls that I know, but none of us knew anything about it until later as adults when we started talking about it. So that was, I was telling you about
meaning,
when I
went. Nobody knew anything that was happening to one another, or you guys all had repressed.
Right.
Okay.
No, we remembered. We just, uh-huh. at the time, nobody told. So nobody knew what was happening with anybody.
How did that all come out amongst each other?
I think it was like not until I was in my 30s or something. Uh-huh. And I think I just got to the point where I wanted to talk about it. And I told my mom, and then my stepsister, she came out about it. So it just kind of eventually we all just kind of.
Were they still together at the time?
No.
Okay.
I think they got divorced sometime, you know, midlife crisis.
And what was your mom's response when you told her? Do you remember?
She was shocked, but she was like, oh my God, that explains so much. You know, like, I'm sure she didn't know. But, you know, when she found out, it's like, oh my God, that's why that was happening. That's why they were acting like this. That's why, you know. So it was right. Interesting.
So then what was the deal with your dad? Would you see him at all?
My real dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. We, my brother and I would spend the weekends with him. Mostly, I remember spending weekends with his parents.
Okay.
I don't remember him being around much. I don't know if he was working or, you know, he met someone and married her. So maybe he was going out with her. I don't remember spending a lot of time with my dad. It was mostly with my grandparents.
Okay. And you were the oldest out of everybody, right? Like out of your stepsister?
Well, there was one of his kids was a year older than me.
Okay. And what role did you play, Shelly?
I think I was like the caretaker.
Uh-huh.
You know, I cooked and cleaned and, you know, I wasn't one of the angry fighter ones, you know. I just kind of tried to keep the peace. And
what was your mom like in that relationship? I mean, like, was he abusive towards her? Physically abusive?
I didn't see any physical abuse, but I remember her crying in her bedroom a lot. So I think he would get upset with her. And, you know, then she was... One of the memories I have of that time was my mom, you know, she had all these kids. She worked full time. She, on her days off, she would like cook dinner, but on the other days we would. So one day, I guess she had cooked the dinner and she was so frustrated and she was tossing the salad and she just tossed the salad into the air. And it's like, wow. But that was kind of like the extremes of her expression. She just was not, I think she was pretty, I don't know, repressed or subdued or, you know.
What do you know about your mom and dad's upbringings? I know you said that your dad was an only child, but.
Yeah, my dad was an only child. His mother was a Swedish Lutheran. very repressed and discontent. She was not a happy woman. And my grandfather was, he was like the kind-hearted, he's the person I felt the most emotionally attached to. Even though we didn't spend that much time together, he was the one that I could sit on his lap, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, I think my dad just didn't have a lot of emotional support when he was growing up. And then my mom's dad was an alcoholic, and she had a younger sister and an older sister, and her mom was very into appearances and glamour and, you know, so I think, I don't know, that's just kind of the background.
High level, yeah. So then what were you like in high school, and like, how did your home environment show up, I guess, like in your teenage years, if it did at all?
Well, I was very insecure. I had one close girlfriend who lived across the street. So I kind of relied on her for my social circle. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was always wishing I had a boyfriend, never really did. And I was a good student. I mean, that was my way to feel good about myself and get some kind of affirmation, or I'd idolize my teachers.
And then, so you got married, how old were you, 20? Is that what you said?
I was almost 19.
Okay. And how did you guys meet, and what were the circumstances?
Oh, that was, I had a friend, I think I met through, when I was 14, I had a spiritual experience. And it was related to, I don't know if you don't remember because you were not even born, but the Jesus freak movement, you know, mm-hmm. So that was going on. And that was how I got introduced to that. But I had a spiritual experience that I remember the day. I remember the date. It was so real to me.
Can you tell me about it? Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
Well, they were doing, you know, it was like a Bible study, and they were like, you know, oh, do you accept Jesus? And I didn't say anything, but in my heart, I went, yeah, I want a connection with God. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't even know if it was a decision. It was just like a little turning point. And I was flooded with this feeling of love that I have mm-hmm. never experienced. I was free of fear. I was just elated for days. And later you know, at first I thought, well, it's Jesus and he's come into my heart, all that stuff. But the more I was in the church and stuff, I'm like, no, this isn't all there is. There's, but the experience was real. So the point of that was
getting married, meeting your husband.
Yeah. So I met this other girl who was in some church group or something. And she was a little bit older than me, and she had an older brother. So I went over to visit her at her house and met her older brother. And I was 14 and he was 18, and it was all about the sex. So eventually we got married when I was old enough. Well, first I got pregnant, then we got married, and we were married for like 7 years and had two kids. But he didn't really fit into any one category, but he was definitely an addict. I mean, he was addicted to sex, cigarettes, alcohol, cocaine, food. I mean, whatever was around, he just used it addictively. So
he didn't discriminate.
Yeah. And I found out later that the entire time we were together, including when I was before my first daughter was born, he was having affairs. So I guess that's kind of how it ended.
How did you find out?
Well, when we ended up deciding that we didn't want to be together anymore, he just
He
started,
was honest.
well, he'd bring his girlfriends over to the house,
Oh,
basically.
okay. Is
So,
he still alive?
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did your relationship look like with him once you got separated? Did you have, what was the like custody agreement?
It was really hard. He thought that he should have one of the daughters and I should have the other one. And I was like, no, that's not gonna work. Basically, he just wanted the kids in the car in the house, and he wanted us to agree that that was gonna be okay. And so I like, no, I had to get an attorney, sold the house. So we shared custody, basically. And the kids, they loved their daddy. He was the playful one. I was the
Cop, yeah, good
get
cop,
everything
yeah.
done. Yeah. And it was cocaine, the thing that he was into at that time. And he would get paranoid and drive up and down the state thinking somebody was after him. And he had the kids with him sometimes. And it was so scary. I wanted to like make it so that they couldn't go see him. But then I didn't want to take their daddy away from them. So they survived. But it was rough.
They were
It
little
was.
when you guys separated, so like what, seven or like seven and
The
younger?
kids were, I think, 3 and 5,
Wow.
something like
Okay.
that.
So then between separating, getting divorced from him, and then how many years later was it until you met Loretta?
Oh, like a long time. We were divorced in 79, 80, and I met Loretta in 2004.
Okay. And so tell me about those years.
Oh, just
When did you decide that you were into women?
I never did.
You never did.
No, I met Loretta and sparks flew, and I was like, oh, okay. It was an adjustment.
Huh.
It was not, I mean, she was just telling me the other day, she goes, well, I think actually Shelly is really straight, but she just loves me. So it's just interesting.
Okay, so tell me about, I mean, obviously you talked about being attracted to unhealthy people,
Yeah.
but in what other ways do you feel like your adult childness negatively impacted your life as an adult? Like, where was it showing up?
Well, it still does,
Yes,
obviously. I
obviously. But I'm saying like pre trying to dip your toe into recovery mostly.
well, just those relationships with alcoholics that were not healthy. They didn't know how to. And neither did I. I was totally clingy and needy, and so I would just, I would have, and I had a few relationships that lasted a couple years, and then the one I think that I learned the most in, I was around in my like early 40s or so, and we lived together, and he's definitely an alcoholic, and he was depressed. He tried to commit suicide a couple times while we were together, and I was really trying to be a good person and stuff. But I was upset with him for his drinking things. And at one point he said, if you have a problem with my drinking, that's your problem. And I got it. It's like, oh my God, I choose to be in these relationships. Why? I really had to look at my part, and it was devastating. It was so hard to, it was so humiliating. And that was a big aha moment for me.
Yeah. So, granted, you said it's been this very long journey of healing and unfoldings. And prior to like this current stretch of your healing, would you say, were there some like pivotal moments, periods where like significant ahas or healing was occurring? Like, was there a moment that you realized that like that you had endured trauma, like that you had complex trauma? Was there a moment that you had that realization?
I think that partly, I'm just going to pick a memory, but I told you about after meeting Loretta and going to Al-Anon and then getting into ACA. The more I looked into ACA literature, the more I think I saw that, how my past affected me and that kind of thing. And at one point, I can't remember when it was, before that, I think, you know, I can't remember, it was around that time, I went to those LifeSpring Landmark.
Oh, Landmark, huh?
Yeah, which they, you know, they say is a cult, but I got a lot out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people say they get a lot out of it, so.
Yeah. I mean,
I think any 12-step program is a cult in and of itself as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you're not like being asked to pay as much money as you are in Landmark, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the marketing thing afterwards that really bugged me. I didn't, they really push you to market.
To try to get other people in, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even really know, like, what are kind of their core principles? Like, what is it really rooted in?
Well, some people describe it as 12 steps on steroids.
Okay.
It's like really looking at yourself and really seeing that you have a story and the story isn't you, and kind of like expose the ways that you know how they say how you are in one thing is how you are in everything. That's one of the things, like they show you, they put you in stressful situations so you can see, oh, that's how I show up. They kind of break down your protections. So It was really hard. It was really scary for me because I like to hide. I'm afraid. So it really pushed me. And I knew it's like, I can leave. Nobody's forcing me to stay here, but I wanted to have some kind of breakthrough. So, so that was one big learning experience.
Mm-hmm. How did you get introduced to Landmark?
Oh, a friend, one of my friends in Sacramento had done it, and she was like, oh, you need to do this.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, I haven't heard about it in a while, but I don't know if it's still as popular as it once was, but
yeah, I don't know.
I've met a lot of people that have done it and were positively impacted from it. So
yeah.
I'm sure that there's a there. Okay. So, I mean, I've seen you have huge growth and ahas over the past 6 months. Let's talk about that. Reflect upon, like the past 6 months, like what have you learned about yourself?
Well, I think prior to, you know, being willing to join the groups, which took a while. And I think the progression was after meeting Loretta and feeling secure. And then I retired in 2019.
What did you do?
I worked in the lab, in medical lab. So I did microbiology and testing all your fluids is what I did.
Okay. Did you enjoy that? Was that a fulfilling career for you?
I did. Yeah, I liked it. It was like anything, it was becoming more and more centralized. And so the quantity was going up and the quality was going down. Yeah. So that part was frustrating. But I liked the people and I liked the work. I liked the science. But I was in very, like, Loretta and I lived far from where I worked. And then she went to take care of her dad and I was taking care of my mom. So there was a lot of driving and being apart and working full time and taking care. Anyway, I was so stressed for probably my whole life, but that was particularly stressful. Yeah. So when I retired, it's like, oh, now I can relax. Now I can like feel what it feels like to not be stressed out all the time. So I think that was helpful too. I was able to just have the time to be with myself and feel my feelings and look at things. And I think that's what eventually led me to searching for more healing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that's kind of happened. I've really just allowed stuff to come up and it's been quite eye-opening.
Yeah. Talk about your experience in doing IFS.
I hadn't heard of IFS before your podcast, and you interviewed Terry and Bransky. And I just really liked what he said and how he said it. I just thought, oh, this makes so much sense. So I started, I read No Bad Parts and watched a lot of videos and stuff. And at first I thought, and like similar with the inner child stuff, like, who is this person inside? You know, this doesn't make any sense. I don't have a person inside talking to me. That's crazy. But the more I paid attention and learned about it, the more it just makes so much sense that we have all these wounded parts and parts trying to take care of the wounded parts. And so I've had a couple sessions with Terry and they really went deep fast. And which sometimes they say that's not a good idea, but I was like, I feel like I was just ready. It's like
let's go, baby.
Yeah. This stuff is coming up. You know, I have enough self-knowledge to go there, I guess. I don't know. It's still very mysterious to me, but I can notice a level of my anxiety has gone down. I can feel a noticeable, I still have a lot of anxiety, but not as much as I did when I started. And it's just become a daily awareness now. I'm always aware of what's happening inside. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling angry. And I don't always sit with it but I'm just like, okay, I need to be with this at some point. So it's really become.
Can you tell me about like a part that you've been able to identify?
Well, the one I'm working with now is I get triggered by the way Loretta communicates sometimes. And this has always been the case. I've just only recently slow down and say, okay, this is not appropriate for the situation, but I would just, she has a part, in my opinion, that is an expert. And when the expert part comes out, I immediately get defensive, angry, dismissive. I want to just like shut her out and abandon her, essentially. And then her feelings get hurt. And I feel really guilty. It's like, that is not my intention. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. So it's this trigger, this angry trigger. It's something about, I don't want to be made wrong. I want to be respected. Something. I haven't gotten to the bottom of it yet, but that's the one I'm working with right now.
Is this different than the part that feels like they're going to get into trouble?
I don't know. I think that part might be underneath this part. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. But I haven't uncovered all that yet. So I'm looking forward to, I told you about that guy, James, on the live mm-hmm. IFS. Mm-hmm. Have you listened to any of his?
Not yet. I need to. I'm glad you reminded me of it. I totally forgot.
I listened to him a lot. He's really good at it.
What is it called? Live IFS?
Live IFS.
Okay.
So I contacted him, I emailed him, and I said, you know, I just really appreciate what you're doing. And if you have an opening, I'd love to have a session with you. So I'm going to call him on June 2nd and hopefully.
Will you be on the podcast?
You could try. You could email him and ask
him.
No,
will you?
Oh, eventually I think he's way behind on his, because he does a session and then he doesn't put it out until months later. So
his shit under control, unlike me. He's fucking doing the deal. That's so cool. Okay. I need to reach out to him. So what about with your kids? Like, how much of this have you just talked about with them, and how have they fared?
My oldest daughter is more has more the addictive personality. She's mm-hmm. always been kind of a wild child, going out and partying with all the kids, but she's also became diabetic when she was 10. Mm-hmm. So she can only do that so much without ending up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. She kind of has a chip on her shoulder, like, you know, why me? Poor me, that kind of thing. And my other daughter is the super responsible, been working since she was 17, you know, has bought two houses. So they're just on opposite end. And I have talked to them a lot about it as the years have gone by. And I've always told them, if you ever want to go to therapy, I will pay for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always felt so responsible for whatever their issues are. And they've never taken me up on it. And I think they're both in a little bit of a denial about how their lives, you know, how their childhood affected them. Because it's a lot.
Have you talked to them about IFS at all?
No, I only text with my older daughter. We don't, you know, talk a lot. Mm-hmm. But my younger daughter, she kind of feels like, well, I got over it and I'm okay. So I don't mm-hmm. need to look at that stuff, you know? And, mm-hmm. but I do, I kind of sneak it in there a little bit, but I don't want to, it would make her uncomfortable in some ways. So.
And then how has that impacted your relationship with Loretta?
It's been
huge, crazy. Right?
Yes. There's so much more intimacy, and she's learning from me and I'm learning from her, because she retired and then now she's back to working again. So she, and she'd recently got certified in EMDR.
Oh, wow.
So
that's amazing.
She's really learning and growing. And so we're kind of doing this together, you know, sharing like awarenesses and stuff. It's so cool. I mean, I'm totally grateful and blessed to be in this kind of a situation.
Yeah. That's amazing to be able to just like share those insights and have somebody like get it.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. Yeah. Okay. Anything else that you want to share about your healing that we haven't already discussed? Anything in particular? No need to. Just want to give you the opportunity to in case there's something that
just be patient with yourself. It takes a long time and we just need to have compassion and patience. That's been the overall overarching lesson for me is, you know, be kind to yourself. So,
no kidding. Okay. Well, give me three things that you like about yourself, Shelly.
Oh, let me count the ways. I'm really loyal.
You know, that can be a negative.
Well, yeah, it can. I mean, I blew up
on Instagram was I had a video about how adult children are loyal to those who don't deserve our loyalty. That was my big break.
I've learned, you know, which people like, okay, they're not interested. I'm done, you know?
Yeah.
It took me a while. And I'm creative. Mm-hmm. I'm a big knitter. I'm constantly knitting sweaters and things. And I'm kind.
You are. Okay, hope or dream for the future?
Oh, just to be, this is an IFS term, but be more self-led. You know, just be free and not be hampered by those voices that tell me to be afraid.
Well, you're such a joy, Shelly.
Oh, thanks, Andrea. I feel awkward most of the time, you know, in the meetings.
You don't seem like it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You always raise your hand. You're sharing. You're doing the damn thing.
Yep. And I think I really need the, I don't know if it's accountability, but just I need to show up like that with other people. It makes all the difference, I think.
We don't heal in isolation.
Yep. Don't let it all go.